Welcome to the Breaking Bread Podcast. This is Rafael Figueroa, lover of Jesus, and this is Yadira Walker. And we were previously having a conversation, and we were cut off by Zoom. But here we are again, and I just want to continue the conversation. We were talking about Genesis. We were talking about Joseph. We were talking about Leah and how Leah represents Jesus, and how Leah also could represent us as well. And I'm going to take off and give it to my sister, Yadira Walker.
So I think we left off talking about daily ministry. Yes. and how most people, even us, sometimes miss it, because I think the idea of the church, the body of Christ, has changed over the years. When we talk about church, people think a building, right? And we meet on Sundays and we do the church thing, and then we go home and we have our normal lives. But that's not God's idea of church. Church is his body. So we are to be doing the things that he did. We need to be encouraging people. We need to be providing for others to the best of our abilities. Like today, my example was, I was alone in the parking lot at work, and this woman said, "Hey, I need help. My car's not starting. Can you help me jump my battery?" And I was like, "I don't know. Maybe somebody's hiding somewhere and wants to steal my car, kidnap me." But then I said, "Okay," because you know, I got that little inclination from God, like, "Hey, you know, this is church. This is what we do. Help each other." So I texted my husband, and then he said, "Okay." And I helped her, and I actually, it's not about feelings at all, but I felt great, because I felt that after I did that good deed, right, I felt that God was smiling at me, because I trusted that I was going to be okay, and that he was speaking to me, telling me, "Yes, do this. This is for you to do." And even though I fussed a little bit, like, "I don't know," I did it, you know. And I feel great after, and I'm like, wow, this is what God wants. Like, maybe I have two loaves of bread, and my neighbor might need some bread. Well, I have two, so I can give her one. So her children are taken care, and my children are taken care. And I believe that at this time of uncertainty, because, you know, the temperature in the U.S. is rising, It's bubbling, right? So I think that right now we are to step up and be the church that God actually called us to be. And it's not about, I don't think it's about a building anymore. I think it's about people and relationships.
It has to be about people and relationships. If we do not have people, when times get rough, we just had a conference or a big hall of people worshiping, but no community, we're in danger.
Yes.
We are, because one can go fast alone, can go really fast, but a company of people can go further.
Yes.
Horses can pull all by themselves, but with others they can go a lot further, and we have to be the same type of people. We have to work together, because that's what God's called in the body. He said, "You are the brethren, like my brethren." When you think of brethren, you think of a family. You know, somebody got a job, somebody got some work to do somewhere. The Bible says that in Corinthians that we're not all the ears or the hands or the feet, you know. We have to know our place, and we got to do our part.
Yes.
And we can only do our part with other people.
Right. And we don't have to be. So, okay, I'm going to get it a little personal. So I told you before that I went to school because I wanted to learn how to study the Bible. And that is true. But I also have a lot of insecurities because we don't know everything, right? And I like to study, so I don't like not knowing and not having an answer. But then I am very aware of my limits with the language. English is not my first language. And I can tell when I'm talking to people and I'm not making sense, or I can tell when something is like not sounding right. And I have that like at the very front, and I'm like, I can't talk to people. I cannot share my faith because, you know, I'm going to mess it up. I don't, what if they ask me something and I don't know the answer? And so you wrestle with all of that. I do wrestle with all of those insecurities, and I feel like I have to trust that. Just like, I don't remember who it was. I think it was Paul, actually, that God told him, well, you're going to be in front of the emperor, and don't worry about what you're going to say because it will come at that time. Or maybe it was Peter. I don't remember exactly, but one of them went to Rome, I think. What you're going to say will be given to you. And I have to apply that to myself because I have the education, I have the knowledge, I don't know it all, but guess what? People don't need to know the commentary, whatever said this or that. What people need to know is, you know, Jesus loves you and he died for you, and he can heal you, he can provide for you, he can protect you, all of that. And guess what? How he's gonna do it with us? I'm here, I'm listening, you can cry on my shoulder. Maybe I don't have the answer, but hey, I'm here. And I think that's church. And I think we have to step out of our comfort zone a little bit with people. Another fear that I had, especially when I came to the U.S., well, I lied. When I went to Maryland. So when I came to the U.S., I came because of my husband. And my father grew up between Chicago and New York, and my father is very dark skinned. He's Hispanic, but he's dark skinned, and he lived through the whole thing when they had to sit in the back of the bus and all.
Wow.
That. And my father always told me, because I always wanted to come to the U.S. to study, and he always said no. He was like, no, you don't know what you're asking. You don't understand, these people don't love you. And I was like, oh, whatever. That was last century. That doesn't happen anymore. Mm. So from Puerto Rico, I went to Italy because my husband was in the military. And after we ended our tour there, we came to Maryland. And for the first time in my life, I experienced what my dad was saying. And I was in shock. I could not believe it. And that added a layer of fear because I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I have this kid. I can't speak well. I have education and all of that, but what does it matter? They are not giving me a chance. And my husband, it was very funny because my husband thought that I was lying because he was like me. He was like, nah, whatever. That doesn't happen anymore. Like you're making that up. And I'm like, no, I want you to come with me to this place and you listen. So you see that I'm not making it up. So we went to this place and it was like a job searching place. And I give the guy my resume and I'm like, you know, well-dressed and all of that because I was looking for a job. And the guy looked at my resume like this. He rolled his eyes and threw back at me just like that. And he said, I'm going to be very honest with you. Here, you're never going to find a job. And if you do, it's going to be cleaning toilets. And I was like, and my husband was like, what? We didn't know what to do at that moment. And I said, you know what? Well, cleaning toilets is a job. So I'll take it for now, you know. And he was like, well, I see what I can do. And never heard back from him at all. And I experienced that over and over and over. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. And that got me, give me fear because of my son. You met my son. He looks like me, right? Yeah. And my daughter is completely different. She doesn't look like me at all. She looks like her dad. So she's fine. But my son, I was like, wow, like what's going to happen? So that added a layer of fear in me. And I'm wrestling with all this stuff. And I came, then we came to Maryland, to Michigan. And years and years ago, one of my first friends that I met here, we went to a restaurant and we're sitting at the bar, at the restaurant at the bar, and we're waiting for, I think it was fried chicken or something. And there was these two guys next to us. And he was like, where are you from? And I said, I'm from Puerto Rico. And he said, oh, I've been in Puerto Rico. And I love Puerto Ricans because Puerto Ricans don't see color. They see people. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I'm like, that's true. Like, at least for my family, that's how we were. And we start talking and we connected. And that's how things were opening. And I was shedding those fears because I was like, oh, yeah, there's people who maybe they are in fear of us, right? Maybe they fear us because they don't know. They don't know us. They heard things and they don't know us. And I started to come out of that little by little. And I went to many churches here. I had one experience in one church, not with me, but and you can use this if you want to or not. I don't know. But I went to a very popular church here, and there's a specific group of people who go there. And at that time, I was working for the domestic violence shelter, and they had a women's conference, and I thought this is perfect for these ladies, because you know I was stepping out, and I'm like, you know, I'm the church too, so maybe I can't preach, but I can bring them so they can hear somebody better than me, give them the word. So I bring these ladies who are, you know, they're poor ladies. They're in a shelter, you know. And, man, the way that they treated them, I was ashamed. And I told, I went to the pastor. And I said, hey, this are, I work with them. These are my, you know, my victims, my clients. And, you know, I thought it was a great idea to come in. And the way that that man looked at them and pretty much did not acknowledge them, I felt so bad. And I told him, I said, I thought this was a church. How dare you? Because, I mean, if you... I think the age, and like I'm aging and I'm more tame, but when I was younger, I will tell anything to anybody. And I'm like, hey, you know, that was not cool. You should not treat them like that, because I brought them here for you to encourage them, to tell them about God, and you treated them like that. I never went back to that church.
I've had similar experiences. Just hearing some of the stuff that you're talking about, I've had some similar experiences, unfortunately, because people do not realize what the gospel is. It's neither Greek nor Jew nor Gentile. In the world, we should probably more than likely expect stuff like that. It's not something that you want. But right. you expect that in the world. You expect that with other people, at least here. But in the house of our Father, where he has made us all one blood, one peace, one man, make reconciling us to himself, there should be nobody who gets neglected or overlooked just because of pigment in their skin or the way that they talk. Or and it's a sad truth. When I was younger, myself, in school, I was beat up because of my last name, and they found out my dad was from Colombia, and they didn't want to be friends with me. Nope, he's a Mexican, and we don't like him. And it was rough as a child growing up in a place where people were rough. At the bus stop, I would get beat up on different things like that. But it reminds me that the gospel lifts up the people just like me in my situation. The gospel lifts up everybody and puts them on the playing field and says, you will always be at the foot of the cross. No matter how high you go, you're always going to be at the foot of the cross.
Yes. Amen.
And you can't go any lower than that either. You cannot go any lower than that. And he made us one with him in his throne, in his seat. And it's the Bible has situations like this multiple times. Moses, he's being thrown in a river because he's a Jew.
Yep.
Just because he's a Jew. And as long as there's people and there's sin in the world, I do not see this going away, unfortunately. Yeah. But the Bible says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world.
That's true. I mean, I think that, here's the thing, and I have done it too. Sometimes we get in this mentality that because we're in church, we're better. And we get this little bit of a like, you know, I'm in the in group, you know. And then when people with need comes in, we sometimes we're like, well, you know, I'm going to, I don't know what the correct word
preach
would,
on us. Preach it. Come on. Preach
we
it.
Treat them with contempt, like
yes.
You know, like, okay, I'm gonna do this because this is what God's calling me to do, but I'm better because, you know, you're sinning and you're doing this or that or whatever. But hey, first you have to be careful how you treat them, because God, Jesus said that because you didn't feed me and you didn't give me water when I was thirsty, and he was talking about, and they said, what? But Lord, when did we see you?
When were you thirsty? When were you naked? When did this happen?
Right. And he said, when you didn't do it with one of these little ones. So it's the same thing for us, you know, because this people that we are like, oh, your sin is so bad, Lord helps you. You can't hang out with us because we're in the inner circle, right? Maybe you are the only Bible that these people are reading. And what are your pages saying about God to them?
I had an instance where I took a brother and a sister to church. And they get kicked out because the sister was wearing pants. And she was speaking in tongues. And everybody in that church believed in speaking in tongues. But because she was wearing pants, she was a Jezebel. And it was just like, you people have no clue.
Yeah.
Like, you said that you were free. Not to pick on anybody. This is not to pick on anybody.
Right.
But freedom is not in a dress. It's not in a shirt. It's in Christ. And when we think we have the mindset of, well, I'm right, wearing the right shirt today, God in the right pants today, Lord, so answer my prayer. Or, Lord, I don't have on any jewelry, and I don't have on any pants, and I have on a skirt, God, and I have a really white shirt on today, so you can go ahead and answer my prayer. Like, God, please, if you are speaking like this, be careful. You know, like, the church needs to be careful with this. Yeah. Because we may not do that with clothes, but we do that with other things still.
Yes.
I'm not smoking. Lord, I didn't smoke today, so you can hear me.
Right.
And it's just like, well, did you talk to your wife right? Did you, or husband, or
your
children, your neighbor? You know, we got to be very careful.
Or the janitor at work.
Yeah.
No, people often overlook certain people because of their job, right? I work at the courthouse. So I work with attorneys, judges, and then, you know, we have the victims and the defendants, but then we have janitors and maintenance people and IT. And it's very interesting to see how each group treats each other. And one group that I noticed that is very overlooked is maintenance. Like, they don't get invited to anything, and nobody ever remembers them for nothing. And I'm like, that's not right. They're part of the team. You know, they should be invited, because they're, without them, we wouldn't have clean offices or clean restrooms, right? So they're very important. Their job is important. And they're doing a job that none of us want to do, right? So we need to honor them too. And I think it's the same way in the church. We need to honor people, not because of the titles, but because they're children of God and God loves them.
You know, a lot of people look at being a pastor like it's the executive job, but it's actually more like the toilet job.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And people would actually have respect for no person. Like, just everybody is on the equal level. We would have a different congregation, different type of people. Of Christians, warriors, because it's not about John G. Lake. It's not about Smith Wigglesworth. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about Christ. And that's what they got. And that's why they were able to preach the gospel with such demonstration and power, because it was about Christ and him crucified. It wasn't about a position. And it did not look pretty with them. They were like Paul. They hungered. They traveled and they walked and their shoes wore out, and they kept on going, and they did it all for the gospel, all for Jesus, you know. And that's what the head pastor is. That's what they're supposed to be. The lowest of all, the lowest. Paul says it like this. He says, chief apostle. Oh, nope. Chief of the saints. Nope. Okay. Chief of sinners.
Mm-hmm.
The higher knowledge that you get in Christ, the more that you learn, hey, I'm not that chief apostle. I'm a servant of all the saints.
Yes.
And I'm not the servant of all the saints. I'm the chief of sinners. I'm going to welcome in the sinners. I'm mm-hmm. going to welcome in the beggar. I'm going to welcome in. I know this is a little bit different than the way people preach it, but the way that I've seen him talk, this is what it reminds me of. It's not just, hey, I'm the chief of sinners, you know, like I believe that Paul sinned. Unfortunately, Paul said he was offended. He talked about it. He talked about it. But
and boy,
I believe, yeah,
he was killing Christians.
Yeah,
I mean, done that, right?
Yeah, right. Oh man. Well, Yadira, I really appreciate the conversation, and thank you for being on Breaking Bread podcast. Is there anything else that you would like to share?
I would like to tell people that it doesn't matter your rank or your position or even your education. At the end of the day, when we are all standing before God, given an account of our life, what is going to matter is, did you have a relationship with him? That is your name written in the book of life? And most importantly, is Jesus going to tell you, okay, come on in, I know you, or away from me, I never knew you? I think those are the scariest words in the entire Bible, because yes, it says there, people were doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, and yet Jesus didn't know them. So make sure that whatever your season is, right now my season is being a mom, and my ministry is my home. Maybe when they're gone, my ministry would look different. But make sure that whatever you're doing, that you're building with God at the center. Because if he's not building the house with you, you are working in vain.
Yes. Thank you, Yadira. You want to pray us out?
Yes.
Please pray us out.
Father God, we thank you so much for this time together. And we thank you for all the people who will be listening to this podcast. We pray, Father God, that you bless them, that they may find a word here that might be beneficial for them, that speak to their hearts, Lord. And I pray for freedom, for deliverance, and for many people to be saved and come at your feet, Father God, and for the church to be united in you, that we might not be distracted with little things and things that don't matter, but that we might be united in you so we can shine as the church and as the body of Christ that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're
welcome. Have a good week, guys. Okay.